Encounters improve the quality of our lives. Encounters come to reveal to us the futility of life without God. Encounters will activate purpose and calling in our life. Encounters come to restore intimacy and fellowship.
The land of Zebulun, the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea, beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people which sat in darkness saw a great light, and to them which sat in the region and the shadow of death, light is sprung up. Encounters come to restore intimacy. Encounters come to reveal to us the futility of life. If you don't have a relationship with God, anything of value can become God to you. Welcome to Encounter Jesus Ministries, sustaining an experiential knowledge of God and walking in the fullness of our eternal ordination. Now, listen to God's servant, Apostle Oropo Michael, as he takes us through an encounter with the Word.
Thank you, Father. We give you praise, we give you glory. We honor you, we magnify you, we exalt you on high. Let your name be glorified. In Jesus' precious name. Hallelujah. You may be seated. God bless you. I'm looking at the time. And so we don't have all the luxury. Praise God. Tonight is a special night, and I believe the Lord will be encountering us in a very unique way. But before we do that, just take a few administrative issues out of the way, and then we touch some things. Some of my very, very good friends and brothers are here with us this evening, just to honor them quickly. Apostle Michael is here with us from Ebonyi State. It's good to have you. Apostle Michael is doing a great work in Ebonyi State. He has a strong rod of the miraculous. And he decided to come into town. You know, God is raising new functionaries. When you see them, don't check their age. Find out the grace that they carry and the ordination they represent. Because these guys are ancients. The things they say and the things they command, it will take years to study them. So when they are plugged into a spirit and you check that the character is in order, then the witness is accurate. So he's a great man. He is a son, but I don't know how to call people sons. You know, it's a burden. A lot of things have been abused. It's easier to address ourselves as friends and brothers. And in that light, a strong man is also here with us from the city of Sokoto. It's not everybody that goes to the north. So if you want to clap, please clap well. Apostle Joshua Anthony. My goodness. Come up here. This is a firebrand. Who told you I was wearing white? My God. This is a mighty man. Mighty man. He will bless us in this month. And we pull him out of Sokoto to come here and release flames of fire. He will release flames. If he carries the microphone in 5 minutes, the whole place will be on fire. The fire is intense. I remember 4 years ago when I don't travel much. I only pray for long. So I come out once in 3 weeks. The moment I hold the mic, the fire begins to burn.
That's how this man operates. He will be on fire for 2 hours. He doesn't have enough time to breathe because of the intensity. Strong man of God. This is one of the brightest swords that is rising in this generation. And sometime in the course of this service, he will be imparted. He is a son, and he loves the Lord with all his heart. You know, when I see people who are highly anointed and they say they want to submit to me, it's a burden. Sometimes I give them 1 year. I say, don't worry, we are brothers. Go be praying. Let's serve God. If after 1 year they trouble me again, then in the second year, we can't help it. And so God wants to give him visibility. His era in the cave is over. His time in the cave is over. So, very soon he will be all over the place. The door of the nations will open. He will travel the length and breadth of Nigeria, then he will invade Africa, then he will invade Europe. This is the time. And so he came tonight for that door to be blown open. You know, the beauty of the apostolic ministry is in the fact that iron sharpens iron. Graces are imparted. People are raised and allowed to be launched into their ordination. In an apostolic setting, the glory is not to keep people. The glory is to allow people to find expression. Because there's no beauty in if men who can take cities are all gathered in one place. God is losing. And so when you find that a horn is exalted, you support it spiritually and otherwise for that horn to minister to a generation. And so, Apostle Joshua, it is time to make Jesus proud in the nations. I will call you when the time is right. You look good. My goodness. We bless God for the testimonies. They are so humbling and so mind-blowing. You know, sometimes we receive so many strange testimonies. I'm not predisposed to sharing all the time because sometimes if people share testimonies because they are not taught how to share it, man is almost glorified instead of Jesus. So I'm careful. And because I don't have time to edit testimonies, I'm careful with testimonies. But God is doing strange things. The woman reached me and said, around 2 a.m. in the morning, she couldn't sleep. She was so stressed. She got up, didn't know what was going on, and she felt she should go to the restroom. When she came out, the Holy Ghost instructed her, pray now. While she was praying, the Holy Ghost told her, get a message of God's servant and listen to. And as she was listening to the message and declarations were being made, the power of God hit her in her room. She fell down. Suddenly, every discomfort vanished. And she gave God thanks and slept, only to wake up in the morning and be told that one of her livestock died suddenly that night. That means her life was ransomed because of the mercy of God. When Pastor Sunday's wife called me, it was 2 a.m. in the morning. I was trying to connect with God and put my spirit in order. When her call came in, I said it has to be emergency. And I called her. She said her husband is dying. A giant. This is a warrior. This man you are seeing is a warrior. Can't speak. Part of his body paralyzed. Doctors are bringing different diagnoses every day. They say meningitis. They say part of the brain is broken. And he's dying. They say heart. Put the phone on him. In the name of Jesus, be healed. Rise up. Give the wife the phone. By tomorrow morning, he's fine. And he slept like a baby, woke up like a giant. No preparation for a miracle service. God just honoring the words of his servant. He's faithful. You know, when you hear testimonies like this, you glorify God. And it also helps your faith. He said, the testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. And so this evening, open your heart. Whatever that challenge is, just be rest assured, it is already done. If we can wake up 2 a.m. in the morning and say, be healed, and a dead man, a dying man is healed, you don't need a miracle service for people to be healed. Because the God who did it will do it again. And thank God for a praying wife. If she didn't call him back to life, maybe we won't be giving the testimonies we are giving today. You see why I told you, don't go and marry somebody and say, I love the person. Find out, marry who God is leading you to. Marry who fears God and marry who is in alignment with your purpose. If they are lovers only, he would have been buried now. But she called him back to life. He said, women receive their dead back to life. That means one of the natural ministry of women is to raise people from the dead. So we will start hearing many more testimonies of women raising men back to life. Thank you, Father. We give you praise. We honor you for the mighty testimony and work in our midst. We ask that your name be glorified in Jesus' name. We bless you, Lord. You are holy. And forever you are God. We bless you, Lord. You are holy. And forever you are God. We bless you, Lord. You are holy. And forever you are God.
We bless you, O God.
We bless you, Lord. You are holy.
You are holy, Lord.
And forever you are God. And forever you are God.
Bless you, Lord. You are holy.
You are holy.
And forever you are God.
And forever you are God.
Bless you, Lord. You are
holy.
You are holy, holy, Lord.
And forever you are God.
We bless you, oh God.
We bless you, Lord. You are holy. To go the way of fire, but since I have less than an hour, I would rather explain a few things and make declarations. Tonight is a miracle and healing service, and it doubles because it's our month of authority. And I'm happy two of the testimonies we were opportune to hear are testimonies where people exercised authority. The woman of God called her husband back from the dead. And the brother made declarations until a male child was given. His life was threatened. He made declarations. We joined faith with him, and the child is doing well. The beautiful thing about authority in the kingdom is that anybody can exercise authority. The only time where authorities and the exercise of authority begins to change is as you begin to advance in the kinds of things you contend with. Because authority is in layers. Even on the natural plane, if you are a citizen of a nation, there are measures of authority you have. You may not appreciate it until you need to travel to another nation. Somebody met me and was lamenting, asking me to pray and join faith with him for visa. And I was trying to pray seriously. And I said, which country do you want to go to? He said, I want to go to Nigeria. You think it's only America and UK people pray for visa for? He is a Nigerian, but he also doubles as a citizen of America. And so, it's a strange thing. His son is supposed to come in to be registered so that he's enrolled and, you know, get his citizenship. And they won't let him. He will now go to the embassy and they will say, well, this is the normal process, but this is express. You know, Nigerian things always have two ways. He said, if you want to go for express, you will pay some dollars extra. He said, I'm a citizen of Nigeria. Why am I? They said, no problem. If you don't want express, come this way. But your application will be here for 6 months. Because they need energy to carry his file and read it. The file is heavy. I said, people trust God to come to Nigeria? He said, yes. So if you think only Canada, UK, and Nigeria that require prayer for visa, you are joking. And America, rather. A lot of prayer is needed to come into Nigeria. And if you think it's a joke, ask those outside the country. The hardest visa to get is to Nigeria. Sometimes you will come to the embassy, nobody will be there. The two persons you meet, they will tell you they are tired. What did you bring? Even the express, if you apply, you will still have to come back and shake their hand. Now, the reason I said this, humorous as it sounds, is to let you know that there's a measure of authority that you have as a citizen. Because if you are coming into your own country, you don't need a visa. Because your citizenship grants you access. It doesn't only grant you access, you have the right to vote and be voted for. So you have some authorities that a stranger cannot have. You can buy land. When you go to pray, you are praying to God to give you money to buy land. The reason you can buy land is because you are a citizen. If you are not a citizen, you have money, you can't buy land. They will show you a robust bureaucracy that you have to follow in order to be able to buy land with money. And so one of the biggest gifts and authority you have is the authority of citizenship. However, for you to become a president, there are dynamics. Because every citizen has the potential of being president, but there can be one president per time. It will take a lot of canvassing. It will take a lot of protocols with political parties, winning of primaries, canvassing for support, and so many things. And so as you begin to do the business of authority, you will discover that there is a foundational level of authority that everybody has. But if you want to address higher things, you need to grow in authority. And so what we'll be dealing with in this month are the cadres of authority. You know, the Bible said, you've come to Mount Zion. You know, Zion is symbolic of government and authority. And when you are dealing with Zion, you are also dealing with height. Because authority in the spirit is representative of height. It's symbolic to height. That's why he said you are seated with Christ in heavenly places. Ephesians 1:21, far above principalities and powers. But Paul was teaching us in Colossians chapter 3 from verse 1 to 3. He said, if you are risen with Christ, let your affection be where Christ dwells. So legally speaking, you are sitting with Christ in the heavenly places. But it takes protocols to operate from there. One of those protocols is that your affection should be set there. And so when you begin to organically route the journey of authority, you will discover that Zion has five Kedars. The first Kedar is to come. He said, you have come to Mount Zion. And that is what we call new birth in the kingdom. The moment you are born again, you are brought into an atmosphere, an economy of authority on account of your citizenship of Zion. So when we say you have come to Mount Zion, it means you've been born into authority. That's why in John chapter 1 from verse 11, he said he came unto his own. He said his own received him not. He said, but as many as received him, to them he gave the authority to become the sons of God. So when we came to Zion, we came into the economy of authority. But as we have come to Zion, we will now begin to travel on the Kedars of authority. And the second Kedar after coming is that you must ascend the mountains of God. Because in Psalm 24, from verse 3, it says, who shall ascend Zion? Who shall ascend the mountain of God? And so new birth brings you to the mountain. It will take another technology for you to ascend. Now, after you ascend, he now went further. He said, who shall stand upon his holy hills? So that's another economy. Salvation brings you. A different economy causes you to ascend. Another economy causes you to stand. And then in Psalm 91, it says, they that dwell in the secret place of the Most High abide. So after you stand, you have to dwell. And then when you finish dwelling, in Obadiah chapter 1, verse 21, it says, Savior shall come forth from Mount Zion. So a point come where you are launched as a witness of Zion. And so authority has five cadres. When you come, when you ascend, when you stand, when you dwell, and when you are sent forth. That's what we'll be studying in the course of this month. But because tonight is a miracle service, I will deal with come. Because come is enough to deal with demons. You know, demons are not so powerful after all. Because the moment you are born again, you have authority to deal with them. And I'll show you two scriptures. Number one, in Mark chapter 16, all I'm trying to do tonight is to give you faith enough to address your challenge. So that from next service, those who want to journey with God will start doing it. But for this service, let's deal with challenge. It's easier to deal with challenge than to walk with God. Those who understand, they know what I'm saying. It's easier to what? To deal with challenges than to walk with God. To walk with the Spirit, you must be helped. Paul said, having received help of God, I continue till this day. But when you are born again, it's enough for demons. In Mark chapter 16, from verse 15 to verse 17, Jesus was speaking to the disciples. And this is what Jesus said. Mark 16, from verse 15. He said unto them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. And he went to verse 17. He said, these signs shall follow them that believe. Not those who are mature, those who what? Believe. He said, in my name shall they cast out demons. And so the moment you believe and you are born again, you have enough authority to deal with demons. So most of the things you are troubling God for, you have no business troubling God. Because those things are your birthright. The reason you are still troubling God or troubling a man of God is because you have not been schooled in authority. Everyone who is a believer has authority enough to cast out demons. I give you another scripture in Luke chapter 10 from verse 19. The Bible said, Jesus sent 70 people out into different cities that himself will come. And he said, behold, I give unto you power to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over every enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Now, Jesus had gone further in this scripture. You know, in the scripture in Mark 16:17, he said they should cast out devils. So it's like a contention. In this scripture now, you are not casting out devils. What Jesus is saying in this scripture is that Even if you choose not to, they can't harm you. So you can rule over their realm so much that you don't need to even be contending with them. Their impact and their import cannot affect you. He said, nothing shall by any means hurt you. And you will think, this must be very powerful people for this kind of authority to be committed to them. If you go to the next verse, you'll now be shocked. The Bible said, at that same hour, he said, Jesus prayed. And he said, I thank you, O Father, that you have kept these things from the wise and the prudent, and you have revealed them unto babes. That means the people that were molesting and tormenting demons were not people of stature. They were babes. If Jesus didn't call them babes, you will assume that they are high-ranking apostles. He said, you have kept this from the prudent. Because when they returned to Jesus, the Bible said they were celebrating. That demons and devils were subject to us. And Jesus said, rejoice not that they are subject to you. He said, rather, rejoice that your name has been written in the book of life. That's the new birth. Rejoice that you have become part of Zion. You have become a citizen of Zion. And when Jesus shifted to commune with the Father, he began to thank the Father. He said, you have not revealed this thing to giants, to wise men, to prudent men. He said, you have revealed it to babes. To babes. No wonder the Bible said, out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, he said, thou have ordained strength. So the authority that deals with demons is the authority for babes in the kingdom. Now, having heard this, you need to make up your mind to consciously begin to walk in authority. Because the key to your victorious living is not in your coming to church. Your coming to church will teach you how to walk with God. But your key to your victorious living is your ability to understand and to exercise authority. Because devils will come for you. The Bible said there's an evil day. There's an appointment for every man walking on the face of the earth. It's called an evil day. And when your own evil day comes, whether it will be written as an evil day or as a day of testimony, is a function of the authority you wield. Hear this. Most of the testimonies we give today were supposed to be evil days. But by authority, we changed the verdict. That's what authority does. And so if there are no evil days, there can be no testimonies. But what changes evil days to days of glory is our desire and ability to wield authority. This is why authority is so important. In fact, when you see Jesus is dealing with his disciples, you will notice that every phase, strategic phase of their life, Jesus insisted that they had authority first. The moment Jesus resurrected from the dead, in Matthew 28 verse 18, he said, all power in heaven and on earth has been given to me. You go in that power. So the first thing Jesus gave to the disciples upon resurrection was authority. After Jesus did that, they were to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. And Jesus did not tell them the Holy Spirit's baptism is an initiation. Jesus told them in Acts 1:8, not many days from now, you shall receive the Holy Ghost and power. Now, there are lots of packages in the Holy Spirit. There is wisdom there. There is eternal life there. There is favor there. There is mercy there. But of all the Holy Ghost came with, the one Jesus picked out was power. You shall receive the Holy Ghost and power. Because Jesus was trying to draw your attention to the significance of authority. Now, after that, Jesus went to heaven. And before Jesus went to heaven, he began to counsel them. In fact, before he died, he counseled them. He said, this work you see me doing, when I go, you will continue. He said, but you see, don't make the mistake of going out and telling people, I was the one walking with Jesus in Galilee. You will die. You know, it's possible for you to snap picture with a great man of God. And then you make the picture your DP. Men will look at it and say, my God. Oh boy, God has helped you. Not demons. When demons come, they don't care who you snapped with. They don't even care who you are living with. They will find out whether you have authority. So Jesus told them, please don't go out and introduce yourself. I am Peter that walked with him in Nazareth. I went everywhere. You will die. So he said in Luke 24:49, he said, tarry in Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. Because if you don't have authority, your relationship and association with me will be useless. You will have wisdom, you will have discipleship training, you will have experience, because you have seen me cast out devils, you have seen me heal the sick, you have even seen me raise the dead 3 times. He said, that will count for nothing. You must carry authority, because when the devils come, they are vicious in the attack. Because even Jesus himself, when he came into the world, he didn't go about announcing himself and say, I'm God the Son. I'm God the Son. When he was a child, they escaped with him to Egypt. They would have killed him, because he didn't know authority. The angel said, this night, carry the young child and escape to Egypt. If you keep him and say he's the Son of God, they will kill him. What will make him walk invincibly on the face of the earth is authority. And after Jesus returned from Egypt, you assume that now that he's mature, he will stand up and start introducing himself everywhere. The moment John the Baptist introduced him, God didn't want to take risk. Immediately, the Bible said the Holy Ghost came upon him. The moment he was announced, God smuggled him. If you study Mark 1:12, it said the Spirit of God drove him into the wilderness. Better come and receive initiation into authority. Because now that you have been announced, you are an endangered species. And Jesus will go into the wilderness, receive the baptism of authority, and as he returned immediately, the Bible said in Luke 4:14 and 15, Matthew 4:15, it said he returned in the power of the Spirit. That was the first time Jesus introduced himself. He came into the synagogue. Now that authority has come, he carried the scroll of Isaiah and he began to talk as an ancient. He said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has anointed me. He didn't dare introduce himself at age 10. He didn't dare introduce himself at age 15. He didn't dare introduce himself at age 25. Even at 30, he waited for authority to come. The moment authority came, manifesto began. I am the Son of God. Any devil who is not happy can come now. I'm ready. I'm fortified. The problem many believers have is that they don't understand the significance of authority. And because they don't understand it, they don't make up their mind to exercise it. Hear this. You have to make up your mind consciously to exercise authority, because therein lies your victorious life. The day you start walking in authority, your destiny will be awakened. The day you start walking in authority, the glory of God that is put in you will begin to find expression. The day you start walking in authority, everything ascribed to you before the foundation of the world will start finding expression. But if you don't touch authority and wield it, you will keep hoping in life until you are old. You will not discover that life is more than human connection. You will discover that life is deeper than where you are living. You will need a scepter for yourself in order to live an invincible existence. Before I teach you, because tonight I want to share with us on how to wield authority. How to wield it. Because authority is a weapon. But before I go into it, let me show you some things that demons do. Because you see, the obsession of every spirit is to be revealed and to be known. But when a spirit is revealed, the spirit is revealed through its predominant character. That's why you have unclean spirit. When you find a man who is troubled by an unclean spirit, you call him a madman. He prefers to live on waste beans, because that's the character of that spirit. In the same vein, if you find a man who is under the Holy Spirit properly, he lives holy. Because the spirit reveals itself through his character. Now, if you don't have authority to decide which spirit manifests through you, your life will become like this screen, this theater here. Every spirit will be revealing his character. If the Spirit of God is the only spirit, there wouldn't be a challenge. But unfortunately, there are many spirits on the earth realm. And when spirits begin to possess you and manifest themselves through you, you give it name, but the spirits don't know those names. What you call sickness is your own interpretation of your experience. But what you call sickness is the nature of a spirit. So the spirit, the more sick you are, the more happy the spirit is. In fact, the Spirit will call you his friend. Thank you so much for giving me the opportunity to manifest myself. I didn't have a means to do that. Thank you for your cooperation. I will remain here until you die. He doesn't think he's doing something bad. He is just manifesting himself. And so, the reason you need authority is so that you will decide which spirit will manifest through you. Let me show you a few manifestations of spirits that are not God. Number one is perpetual practice of sin. When a spirit that is not God takes over you, you will discover you will lack the ability to live right. Because that spirit will bend your will and force you to carry out his desires and promptings. You will now discover that you will live perpetually in sin. Either you are a drunk or you are a liar or you are a fornicator. You can't help yourself. The reason is because you didn't exercise your authority, so a spirit has taken over you. So you are the theater of that spirit. The spirit will network through your mind, network through your will, network through your emotion in order to force you to give expression to itself. And so one of the manifestations you will see is sin and iniquity. The second manifestation you will see is sickness. Sickness is what men call it, but in the spirit realm is the nature of a spirit. And the one who is sick is a manifestor of that spirit. It's a theater that reveals that spirit. The third manifestation you will see is abject poverty. Poverty. Chronic poverty. You will try everything you know how to do. By the time you finish, you will now discover that all your effort was in vain. You will labor all day only to return to meet the bread of sorrow. You know, when we teach people, we say, be hardworking, be hardworking. Hope you know hard work doesn't make rich. Hard work is a good character of the spirit. But what makes rich is smart work and graced work. Smart work because you are able to solve problems. Graced work because you are enabled. If it is hard work, trust me, next time they are building a house, go there. You will find hard workers. They carry bags of cement from morning till night. When they finish, they go back home with 2,000 naira. Because you will need, in addition to hard work, intelligent work, smart work, and graced work. Now, if you throw hard work away, you will fail. Because even the guy working smart needs to be consistent. So it will take some measure of strength. But over and above hard work, you need smart work and you need graced work. Because if you are smart and you are not enabled, you will still labor in vain. Because a spirit can come to manipulate your destiny. And so, the third way spirits manifest themselves is through abject poverty. The fourth way they manifest themselves is through wickedness. Wickedness. The Bible said, the dark places of the earth is the habitation of cruelty. So when you find somebody just deliberately punishing people, making life difficult for people, it's a spiritual manifestation. You find people steal from people and still kill them. It's spiritual manifestation. If you find people do evil unnecessarily, you are wondering, what warrants it? They are demonic operations. Somebody can hear this and say, no, it's not everything that is caused by demons. I can tell you with all authority that everything bad is caused by the devil, either directly or indirectly. And if you want to argue, there was no accident in Eden. You can say the accident is due to carelessness. There was no accident in Eden. It is after the world, man fell, that accidents began to happen. And so the devil is indirectly involved in everything. He is guilty and responsible for everything. Either because he's directly involved or because he's indirectly involved. Praise God. And so wickedness is a manifestation of dark spirits. Number five is contention, crisis, and war. People are killing themselves, destroying lives and properties. It is a manifestation of wicked spirits. And finally, is death. Now, when we come for a miracle service like this, what we are trying to do is to put a halt to the manifestations of spirits. ranging from sickness. That's why we call it healing and miracle service. Healing has to do with your body, but what you need is for much more than your body. You need intervention in your circumstances. Last week, we heard a testimony of a brother, very smart young man, doing everything but nothing is working. Until by prophecy and divine intervention, walked up to him, prayed for him, and gave him 20,000 naira. In 2 weeks, somebody gave him 10 million. Where was the person all this while? That means that favor was hanging, but the spirit blocked it. So the man who should give him money, if the man needs to meet him, his steps will be diverted. And if the man wants to think about him, another challenge will happen. So that the money is diverted from him. So it is not directly, but indirectly, a spirit was perpetuating wickedness. So what you need in this service is not just healing. You need intervention in every area where spirits manifest. Every area, from your business to your family to your relationship, because spirits possess circumstances too. That business you are doing, there is one man you just need to talk to for things to change. But you will be shocked that in 20 years you will not meet that man. Because somehow your pathways are separated. And you can't find out why this lifting you are waiting for will not come. When you come for a miracle service like this, in addition to healing of the body, your circumstances will be healed. You will now discover that in 2 months, what you begin to experience is more than what you have experienced in the last 6 months. If you don't even have understanding, you may not testify. You may come for a miracle service and only a handful of people will be healed. Much more will receive interventions in circumstances of life. Because the same way people's bodies are sick, that's how their circumstances are sick. People don't know that circumstances can even be more sick than their body. The reason you think sickness is only of the body is because on account of human intelligence, they are able to deal with bodily issues, so they open hospitals. If we mature in spiritual intelligence, we will not only have hospitals for bodies, we will have hospitals for circumstances. And can I tell you something? The church is a hospital for circumstances. And so when you come, God can touch your circumstance. And I am persuaded before, beyond an iota of a doubt, that everybody listening to me now, whether on site or online, you are in for a glorious intervention. What you want to do tonight, we'll just take declaration, so don't worry. But I need to educate you to help your consciousness. And so when your circumstances are not right, don't go and relax. And say, heaven helps those who help themselves. It's deception. Don't go and relax and say, if God wills, it will happen. My brother, God wills everything good for you already in Christ Jesus. Anyone that is not happening, a devil is stopping it. If you are thinking, if God wills, it will happen, you are joking. The Bible said, he has given unto us all things that pertains to life and godliness. All. He has already given it. All things that pertains to life and godliness, he has already released it for us. The reason we are not walking in it is because demons are walking behind the scenes. And the reason demons are able to walk behind the scenes, I list them for you quickly. Demons manifest as death, as poverty, as sickness, as wickedness, and as crisis. But they don't just manifest. They manifest because certain provisions are available. If you remove this provision from your life, the demons will be disarmed. So what are the provisions that empower demons? Number one is ignorance. If you don't know that you are in the middle of battle, you will be sleeping when your life is being taken away. And if you don't know how to deal with that battle, even though you know you are in a battle, you won't know what to do to help yourself. That is the plague of ignorance. The plague of ignorance makes you helpless. So helpless that you know you are dying, but there's nothing you can do about it. And that is one thing that empowers demons so much. When they find an ignorant person, they build their abode there. In Ephesians chapter 4, from verse 17 to 18, the Bible said, "This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. And so there is a commonwealth of God for every believer. He said, but for the believers who walk like the Gentiles, whose understanding is darkened, he said, even though there is a commonwealth for believers, he said, these ones never experience it. And the reason they never experience it is because their hearts are blinded. Who is the blinder of the hearts of men? 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3 and 4. If our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, whom the God of this world has blinded their minds, that they may not be able to see the glorious gospel, who is Christ Jesus, the image of the invincible God. And so when the devil succeeds through vanity to blind your heart, you become a puppet of that spirit. That's why many times we teach people the way of consecration. When we tell people not to be worldly, it's not just about serving God. It's about opening their eyes. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2 from verse 12, the Bible said, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. I think verse 14 rather, neither can he know them. He said, because they are spiritually discerned. So when a man lives at the plane of naturality, when a man lives worldly, what he doesn't know is that his eyes are blinded from Ebenezer, the help of God that you should access. And so the first way to disarm demons and their oppression from your life is to buy the truth. Is to come into understanding. Because lying in understanding is the totality of your victory. Number two, what empowers demons in order to manifest in a man's life? Fear. You know, the natural thing that every man picks up from birth, in addition to hunger, is fear. When you have a small child, leave that child in a room. The child will be so afraid and start crying. You will be wondering who taught that child. The reason is because fear came with the fall. The moment Adam fell, he became afraid and he hid himself. And so when the devil wants to exploit you, he will check whether your fear has been substituted with faith and boldness. If your fear has not yet been substituted, then the devil will plunder you. The Bible said in Hebrews chapter 2 verse 14 and 15, it said, for as much them as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that have the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. And so one thing that keeps men in bondage is fear. The fear of the unknown, the fear of death, the fear of the devil. But the Bible says we have not received the spirit of fear. We have not received the spirit of fear. We have received the spirit of love, of power, and of a sound mind. And so when you find a man that demons easily manifest in and through, is a man that has made himself a slave through fear. The third thing that gives demons authority to manifest in your life is disobedience. In Ephesians chapter 2, from verse 1 to verse 2, the Bible said, and you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sin, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now walketh in the children of disobedience. Now, when people are being lured by demons to disobey God, they don't know that it's a complex demonic intelligence. Because the more you walk in rebellion, the weaker you become in contending with demons. And so the devil knows that all the power in heaven and on earth is already with you. But the way he will get you never to wield it is to get you disobeying God. And because he cannot show up with two horns and tell you, disobey God, he will plunder your lust. And so he will look for something that your lust is susceptible to. And then he will get that thing to get you disobey God. He knows that so long as you are disobeying God, no matter how much effort you put in, no matter how much you try, you cannot get what you are looking for, because it takes supernatural power to prosper in life. Hear this.
Nobody prospering is prospering just because he's intelligent. Nobody prospering is prospering just because he has human connection. There are supernatural undertone to every glorious destiny. And everyone who is prospering in light is walking in perpetual obedience to God. Because if you choose the path of disobedience, you become a slave of the devil. Adam was created as a dominion. The word is kuriotis. He said, let them have dominion. The earth belonged to Adam. It was his possession. The Bible said the heavens belong to God. It said, but the earth he has given to the sons of men. But the moment Adam went in the path of disobedience, the devil didn't need to say, give me the scepter. When the devil was talking to Jesus, he said, bow to me. I will give you the glory of the world, for it has been delivered to me. I am now the God of this world. Whether Adam knew it or not, does not matter. The moment he disobeyed, he became a servant. And his life became a theater through which the devil could manifest anything he wanted to manifest. That's why Adam died. He was not created to die. Adam was created an immortal. In 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 10, the Bible said, he has made life and immortality. He has revealed life and immortality through the gospel. Because life and immortality was Adam's possession. It was in the fall that he lost it. And the way he lost it was through disobedience. And so, you will remain poor if you continually walk in disobedience. Unless you fraternize with another spirit. If it is God, you will remain poor. You will remain sick if you keep walking in disobedience. Even Jesus himself, when he healed men, he said, go and sin no more. Lest a worse thing happen to you. Because if you keep walking in disobedience, you will remain vulnerable. Our vulnerability is tied to our disobedience. Our immutability is tied to our obedience. Find a vulnerable man, he's a disobedient man. Find an impregnable fortress. That's the man walking perpetually in obedience. Because what opens the gate to demons to plunder men is the path of disobedience. Number four, what gives demons right and authority to rule people and to molest them is willful desire. It's not everybody who is oppressed that you think is forced into it. Many people pursued after spirit, desired what spirit had, and they were taken aback when those spirits took over. It's not everybody that is forced into bondage. Some people walked their way willingly into bondage. In fact, I read one scripture, James chapter 1, verse 14 and 15. It says, but every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. And death is one of the manifestations of oppression. So many people journeyed into death by their lust. They willfully followed that pathway because they didn't know that there's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof is death. Hope you know the tree is called the tree of the knowledge of what? Good and evil. There are certain good that has evil at the end. And so if you are not led of God and you yield to your lust, most times you will end up in chains and in captivity because demons can use your desires to plunder you. Finally, what gives demons authority are covenants, oaths, and truces. People go into agreement with demons for demons to empower them. But it is only God that blesses and adds no sorrow. Every other spirit that blesses added sorrow to their blessings. And so when a man does not quickly detach from covenants with demons, that man is already on the pathway to oppression. In Ecclesiastes chapter 10 verse 8, it says, he that diggeth a pit shall fall into it. It says, he that breaketh the hedge, a serpent will bite. And so the reason many people are troubled today is because they broke their covenants with demons. And they didn't enter a superior covenant with God. And the moment the hedge is broken, the moment the insurance system of God is violated, and they went into covenant with other spirits, they became vulnerable. Because it is the way of demonic spirits to plunder men. This is why Isaiah 49 verse 24 called some people lawful captives. They are lawful captives because a demon didn't sneak into them. They willingly went into covenant with those demons. He says, shall the prey be taken from the hands of the mighty? He says, shall the lawful captive be delivered? So there are certain captives that are supposed to be captives because of what they have done. So they are not slaves because they were overpowered. They are slaves because they chose it, either through their will or through their agreement, oaths and covenants with demons. And so men are theaters that reveal spirits. Everything you are going through today is a revelation of a spirit that is either consciously or unconsciously in fraternity with you. But here is the good news. There are weapons in light. They are weapons. We are not without a witness. Because God knows that people enslave themselves through their emotions. God knows that people were forced and coerced into bondage. And so in order to bring salvation and deliverance to his people, he released certain weapons for us. Those weapons are the things we wield that translate to authority. When we talk about a scepter is actually an aggregation of different mystical possibilities. A scepter is not necessarily a rod. A rod is symbolic of a scepter. But a scepter are dimensions, spiritual dimensions, weaved together and available to a man to wield. Now, you find people operate in different dimensions is actually an expression of the blend of the mysteries that came together and was given to them. If a man is operating in an extraordinary dimension of prosperity, there is a scepter of prosperity at work in his life. But when you draw close to that man, you won't find a rod. When you draw close to that man, you will just discover suddenly that in that man's life, there is a wisdom that you cannot explain. There is a covenant that he keeps. That covenant and that wisdom connects together and it becomes a rod of authority. So when you speak of that man's scepter, it's not a stick. His scepter is a kind of connection between wisdom and covenant. If you can receive that wisdom and covenant, either through discipleship or through impartation, you will now discover that you too begin to operate that scepter. And so when people are seeking scepters, they are not sticks. They are blends of spiritual possibilities. Now, if you study the scripture, you will find out all of those blends. Usually, the reason we connect to men is because it's easier for aggregated reality to be transferred through impartation than to pursue them through study. Bishop Oedipo said he prayed for 2 years for God to bless him with wisdom. And if you look at him now, he's showing. They have over 10,000 workers. They have 2 universities working very well. When you hardly find 1 government university working in the same country, under the same situation, their own is working well. Everything they do by commandment. They don't beg people. They don't ask people to help. They decree it and it happens. Elephant projects that usually will look impossible, they make a declaration, it happens. The reason is because if you study the man closely, you will find wisdom like a river. You will find covenant. He breathes it. You will find faith. You will find discipline. You will find diligence. Many things came together to form that mantle. And so if you want to read all his books to enter it, you will come out of your library with gray hair and you'll be walking like this. So while you are listening to the messages and reading the book, if you have opportunity, you will receive an impartation. Because Paul said in Romans 1:17, I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gifts, not for you to manifest, but that in the end, that you might be established. Because what you are getting is to create establishment. So there are many weapons in the spirit. I list a few of them for you quickly before I show you how to navigate authority. You know, I'm trying to take it gradually because we're out of time. If I start talking by inspiration, I would have been on the introduction till now. The first weapon that we have in this kingdom is the name of Jesus. The name. It's impossible to wield authority. This type that you are born into, it's impossible to wield it without having regard and understanding of the name of Jesus. In Philippians chapter 2 verse 9, it said something about the name of Jesus. There's a credit that the name of Jesus carries in the spirit. It's like the ATM card of a billionaire. All your expenses can come into it and out. It won't be noticed. If what's his name now? Give me one of the big guys. If Elon Musk gives you his ATM and say, go and buy something, you will gather all your dreams together. All the dreams you have, the mandate that you have received from the Lord, all the problems you need to solve, when you aggregate it together and make withdrawal, the account will not shake. Because all your dreams now are in Naira. You now withdraw 1 billion. They now divide 1 billion by 700. You now discover that your 1 billion reduced to million in dollars. Now, his ATM has more than $100 billion. So your $1 million withdrew. Maybe it's the point something in the ATM. You now, that is a man's account. Now, the name of Jesus is the wealth of creation. The whole creation is inside. So even if you debit creation, the name will still not shake. Because the whole creation came out of him. He said, all things were made by the word of his power, and the word of his power is in his name. Are you seeing that? So in Philippians chapter 2 verse 9, here's what the Bible says. It says, wherefore God hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every other name. Now when Jesus wanted to go to heaven and he discovered we have a lot of expenditures to handle, because he doesn't want to keep coming and going from heaven, he gave us an ATM card. That ATM card is Jesus. And so when a man understands the name of Jesus, he will wield it. See, when you carry ATM into a supermarket, and the ATM has capacity. You know, not every ATM has capacity. If you carry an ATM that doesn't have capacity, better check the price list where. If you look at it and it's not clear, ask the person, how much is this? Hear it, because the things you loaded, you can drop it back. If you even go to an eatery and your ATM doesn't have capacity, tell them, where is the menu? If you see somebody insisting, I must see the menu. They say, no, this is what we have. This is what they say, I want to see the menu. He's looking for something more than food. He wants to find out the price tag. I traveled with Lagos with one of my friends. And so the hotel where they put us, he thought he traveled alone. Because the hotels where he goes to, a plate of food can be 2-5. He didn't know that the hotel they put us is because of me. So when we now went, he strolled down to the cafeteria, ordered some things. He ordered, two people came to see him, so he ordered. He made some orders. He made declarations. When they now brought the bill, he discovered that one yogurt was 8,000. One yogurt. Meanwhile, he ordered two yogurts. When they finished eating, the bill was over 40,000. He wanted to faint. They said, what have I done? What have I done? I said, next time, ask for the menu. See the money. Because your ATM might not have capacity. But you see, when you carry the name of Jesus, he said, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth therein, and they are saved. The name of Jesus has superlative capacity. It doesn't matter what the devil throws at you. You can tell the devil, bring your best shot, because I have something that can never fail. He said in Mark 16:17, in my name, cast out devils. He made it plural. I don't care if he came from the waters. I don't care if he came from the air. I don't care if he came from hellfire. Devils, every devil put together cannot withstand the name. Why? Because before that name was given, he said, having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a public show of them, triumphing over them by the cross. If the name, hear this, if the name did not have capacity, he would have defined demons before he sent them. He would have said, if you see a demon that is dark, cast him out. But if you see a yellow demon, don't. But because he knew the capacity of the name, he said, in my name. I don't know about your name. Your name may cast out two demons, but in my own name, even if hell appears, I have spoiled principalities and powers before.
I have made a public show of them before. And so he said, cast out devils. See, when you go out to cast out demons, it doesn't matter where they came from. Their location is not important. Because the name, the Bible said, is what? Highly exalted. Highly. That's a weapon that believers carry. And this name is not for everybody. It's for those who are born again. That's why we were introduced into authority. Because when he gave us his life, he brought us the right to use his name. And so everyone who carries the name of Jesus has something superior to Elon Musk's ATM card. He has something that can buy in naira, in dollars, in pounds. And he can leave the natural and go to the supernatural and begin to command in the demonic realm. He can command in the angelic realm because the name of Jesus is highly. Master's degree. I know you are not connected to any of the tribes of the born women, but hear this: we have a scepter. It's called the name of Jesus. At the mention of that name, he said, every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess that Jesus is the Lord. Poverty, we bow. Sickness, we bow. Death, we bow. Every knee shall bow. Every tongue shall confess. Negotiate with demons. I need you to understand the words. Don't rush the Bible when you are reading it. He didn't say exorcise demons. In exorcism, what they do is that they negotiate with the demons. If you leave this person, you will possess another person, and this person will serve you like this. But you see, in the name of Jesus, there's no negotiation. You come, they say, what is happening? He's blind, he's deaf, he's dying. You put your hands in your pocket. You say, in the name of Jesus, the Son of Living God. Pa-ka-ta-ka-ta. Ra-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Get out now. Marede. Jesus said there, hope you know, demons are rebellious. Demons never cooperate. Demons never cooperate. What Jesus actually told us to do is to go and oppress them. Oppress. Because when you show up, they will not cooperate. When you show up, they will be rebellious. That is their nature. And so Jesus sent us to a rebellious people. Just the way Moses entered Egypt. God himself said, Pharaoh will not respond to you. Pharaoh will not obey you. He said, I will harden his heart. But what I want to do is to display my power. If Pharaoh obeyed, you wouldn't have known about 10 plagues. But God necessarily allowed Pharaoh to be hard-hearted so that the excellency of the power of God is made manifest. And so when you come before a demon, it's a time for show. It's a time for manifestation. The rebellious ones are better. Patatata. Kaias. Hey. In the name of Jesus, you say, get out. Many people are intimidated by demons. Demons know that if you know what you carry, they are in trouble. So when you show up, they start doing like this. When they are doing, watch them. When they finish, say, now, get out. If you are strong, you won't act drama. The moment you are coming, the person is doing, I'm a lion. You are a lion? Really? Have you heard of the lion of the tribe of Judah? Have you heard of the root of David? Yeah. You are a lion. Don't waste your time with demons. When you show up, carry your scepter in the name of Jesus. Now, get out. And they have no choice but to obey. Because the name, see, in science, there is what we call hypothesis. Before a reality is propounded as a law, it passes through observation, it passes through hypothesis, it passes through theories, it passes through experimentation before it becomes a law. So when you find something, you will look at it, you observe it. You say, I observe this to be yellow. You now take it to the lab and then you experiment it to prove that it is yellow. When you see that it is yellow, you now propound a hypothesis that because of this, I believe this is yellow. Then they will carry out the experimentation again and again. When they are satisfied that it's yellow, they make it a law. The name of Jesus is not undergoing hypothesis. Where the name was tested was not in your sickness. It was not in your crisis. Jesus descended to hell. He went to Hades. That's where they tried the experiment. All the demons of hell mobilized and gangled against it. But he said he spoiled principalities. He spoiled powers. He spoiled rulers of the darkness of this world. And it was not hidden. He said he made a public spectacle. That's why when he showed up, he said, all power in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Now go in that power. So when we carry the name of Jesus, we carried all power. We carried all power. I refuse to be intimidated. It doesn't matter the demonic manifestation. It can be a crisis. Use the name of Jesus. It can be sickness. Use the name of Jesus. It can be poverty. Use the name of Jesus. It can be death. Use the name of Jesus. Even lawful captives shall be delivered at the name of Jesus. Listen, people rush Bible. See, people rush Bible. If you study Isaiah 49 verse 24, you'll be scared. It says, shall they plead? You know what a plea is? That's a helplessly defeated victim. He didn't say be taken from the hand of the captor. He's not just anyhow captor. He's a mighty captor. He says, shall they plead? Shall the helplessly defeated victim be taken from the hands of the inconquerable mighty captor? He didn't stop there. He went further. And he said, shall the prisoner be taken from the hands of the terrible? So this is demonic wickedness from mighty to terrible. That means you can't contemplate the level of wickedness. And he said, thus saith the Lord. Even the prey of the mighty shall be delivered. Even the prey of the terrible shall be let loose. And he didn't say they will just be let loose and escape. He said, I will feed them with their blood. They will eat of their flesh. Because when we show up with the power in the name, we didn't just come to deliver. We came to oppress the oppressor. We came to arrest the captor. We came to make captive the captor. And so in the name of Jesus, it doesn't matter what you are going through. In the name of Jesus, I decree now, your captivity is torn. There are seven weapons. This is the first. And see what is happening. The devil is already defeated. I can sense the movements of the waters already. I can sense it. I've not entered authority, which is what I want to talk about. I would have talked about the name. I would have talked about the blood. I would have talked about understanding. I would have talked about the cross. I would have talked about the resurrection before I come into authority. But the name alone is enough. And so in the name of Jesus, I take authority over every crisis of your life. I decree right now, they go down. Anointing. See, we have too many weapons. He said, the yoke shall be broken because of the anointing. He said, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil. He said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to preach glad tidings to the poor, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to open up blind eyes, open up deaf ears, and deliver them that are in prison, and proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. From the name of Jesus, you touch the blood, you touch understanding, you touch the anointing, you touch the cross, you touch the resurrection. Then you begin to wield authority. But how can we use all of that for demons? How can we use all of that for sickness? It's a waste of spiritual resources. The name of Jesus alone is enough. And so right now, I take authority over sicknesses and diseases. Whatever it is you came here with, pains in the body, growths in the body, eye conditions, ear conditions, bone conditions, organ conditions, in the name of Jesus, be healed now. Be healed now. Be healed now. I command pains, go. I command blindness, be gone. I command deafness, be gone. I command pains, be gone. Bones, be healed. In the name of Jesus. I command growth, vanish. In the name of Jesus. I speak over your circumstances. Everything provoking poverty, I arrest it now. I command it now, be gone. Be gone. Be gone. Be gone. Be gone. In the name of Jesus. You reign, you ancient Zion King, Kadosh, Kadosh. You are mighty on your throne. You reign, you reign, you reign.
Blessed by this message you just listened to, and you wish to make Jesus your Lord and personal Savior, kindly repeat the prayer after me. Dear Heavenly Father, I believe in your Son Jesus Christ, and that he died for my sins and was raised from the dead for my justification. I therefore confess with my mouth that Jesus is the Lord of my life. I receive eternal life into my spirit. I am born again. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name.
Amen.
If you just said this prayer, please send us an email at info@encounterjesusministry.org or info.ejfi.ng@gmail.com. You can also visit our website at www.encounterjesusministry.org.